When we die, are we all going to heaven? After all, have you ever been to a funeral or even seen one on TV where the preacher said the deceased individual was going to hell? I doubt it. I've been to a lot of funerals. I've never once seen the preacher say, you know, Mr. Jones, he was a horrible man and he did a lot of horrible things when he was alive. We can all sleep well tonight knowing God's justice is going to be applied here and Mr. Jones will be suffering in hell for all eternity. Have you ever heard anything even close to that? I would guess not. But what is heaven anyway? And do I even want to go there? I'll tell you honestly, if heaven was just me getting assigned a pair of wings and maybe a harp, a cloud to float on, I'm not sure that's my idea of eternal bliss. And what about hell? Is that real? And if it is, why would a loving God send someone there? Those are fair and good questions. If you believe God exists and you believe God created us, and you believe the Bible is God's word, then I think we have a good starting place for answering questions like these, because the Bible does provide answers. If, however, you aren't so sure about God's existence or that the Bible's from God, I want to encourage you to stick with us and hear what the Bible has to say, because I don't think it'll be a waste of your time. After all, you clicked play on the video. I think it might be fair to say you have some interest in the subject of life after death. I also think you'll be impressed by what God says about heaven and hell and who will reside in each of these places once this life ends. Finally, I want to say that heaven is a place so wonderful, I think you'll want to go there. I want you to go there. You see, heaven isn't some kind of secret. The way to get there is not a secret either. In our discussion today, you'll see there's no shortage of space in heaven. Everyone's invited. And God's desire for you is to choose to be there too. Let's get right to it. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Now, I'll tell you this. I hope this makes sense. If you have a medical question, you should go ask a doctor. If you've got a legal question, I would say go consult an attorney. But if you have a question about heaven, hell, eternity, Jesus is the right one to weigh in here. And he just said, not everyone will enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus goes on to tell us that it is he who does the will of the Father. That's the person that will one day be in heaven. Now, it's very important to understand something about God. He wants every single human being to be with him in heaven someday. But he is not going to take you kicking and screaming against your will if you don't want anything to do with God or his son, Jesus. The Bible tells us God is long-suffering towards us. That means he's patient with us. He's not desiring that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So now let's add those two Bible verses together. Jesus said not everyone is going to heaven. The Bible also comes along and says that God desires that none would be lost. So how do you reconcile God's desire for everyone to be saved and Jesus telling us not everyone will be saved? Listen to something Jesus said about the people of his generation. He said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing." You see, the problem of people not going to heaven, it's not a God problem. It's a man problem. If we are not willing to follow the instructions God gives us, we should not be surprised if we end up in the wrong place. Now, I'm just going to speak plainly for a moment here and say some things that might not be very popular, but I'm going to assume that popularity is not your thing. You want to know what's true. You want to know what's right. Many people simply don't want God's guidance in this life, do they? It gets in the way of whatever they are selfishly pursuing. And we've become really good at excusing our behavior, haven't we? We might say things like, well, God would want me to be happy, wouldn't he? So I'm just going to do what I want. I'm going to do what makes me happy. I'm sure you've heard people say that. Or maybe you've heard this one. I'm going to follow my own personal truth. I'm going to do me. And as long as I'm sincere, that's all that matters. Can I ask you, do you buy that? Do you really believe that sincerity takes something that's false and makes it true? Something wrong and makes it right? I hope you don't. Because we don't talk this way in any other area of life. If a farmer plants the wrong seed, guess what? He's going to get the wrong crop. It doesn't matter if he was sincere when he grabbed the jar of apple seeds thinking they were watermelon seeds. If the doctor gives a patient poison, it doesn't matter if he was sincere thinking it was a jar of cough syrup. That patient's going to die. If your child, don't mean to be offensive here, but if your child thinks 2 + 2 = 5, you should probably tell your child they're mistaken because when they get older, the bank's not going to let them do math their way. Sincerity does not take something false and make it true. So why do we think we can start talking about spiritual things, spiritual truths, and now everyone's got a blank check? They've got freedom to say whatever they want, believe whatever they want. Now, I get it. We don't want to be considered narrow-minded. Nobody wants to be labeled judgmental. The good news is none of us have to carry that torch. Jesus has already done that. He's already made it clear for us. Listen to what he said in John chapter 14. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Don't you mean you're a way, Jesus? No, I'm the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's very exclusive, isn't it? It is. But if it's true, then you would want to know, wouldn't you? You wouldn't want to be misled by getting on the wrong path and ending up in the wrong place, would you? Listen to something else Jesus said in John 12. He said, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. So there you have it. The answer, the road, the way to heaven is through Jesus and by following his words, his instructions. And I've got to tell you, those words, they're not hidden. They're not written in some secret code that needs to be cleverly unraveled. The words of Jesus simply need to be heard and obeyed. Now, there are some very important implications that come out of this that I think are worth exploring for a couple minutes. First one is this. I want to point out that there's one eternal destination, whether it's heaven or hell, and that destination is in each person's own hands to decide. It's your choice when it comes to following Jesus or not following Jesus. Judgment Day should not be a surprise for most people. For those who have declared in this life, God, I want no part of you. I want no part of your son, Jesus. I'm going to live life my way. I'm going to live my life without you. To those people, God will say, that will be done. Heaven is a place for people who desire to be there, people who desire God. So if you don't want to spend time with God, you don't want to spend eternity with God, Some people will just be honest and say, I don't want to live God's way. I want to live my own way. Okay, you choose to live without God, without his care, without enjoying his blessings, those blessings that come from being in his presence, then God is not going to force you against your will. There are some, however, that I think might be surprised on Judgment Day because they've either been lying to themselves or someone's been lying to them, teaching them false information. They might say they love and desire God, but their actions say the opposite. Look with me again at what Jesus said. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonderful works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Jesus says he's going to judge us by our actions, not our verbal claims. It's not the label you give yourself. I'm a Christian. Look at my Christian t-shirt. Look at my Bible verses framed in my home. It's not our verbal claim to love God that matters. Have we obeyed the words of Jesus? That's the important thing according to Jesus himself. And listen, friend, I know there are people out there who say different things. You can get on the internet and people say different things. The only thing that matters is Jesus himself. Now, there's another point I want to make here as well. The Bible tells us that all good things, all blessings, everything enjoyable in this life, it comes from God. James 1:17 is the reference. God, therefore, being the source of all that is good, that's the reason I want to be in heaven. That's the reason to want to go to heaven. That's why it's attractive, and that's why hell is unattractive. The very idea of being alienated from the presence of God and everything that is pure and good and wholesome, everything that makes for joyous and peaceful living, that's going to be the real pain of hell. You know, the Bible doesn't really make heaven the goal. I hear a lot of people say, my goal in life is to go to heaven. But just to be clear, the Bible makes God and his glory the goal. It just so happens to be the case that God dwells in heaven, right? So the anguish of hell then is being separated from God, separated from Jesus. Before Jesus left this earth, he said this to his disciples. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. Here it is. That where I am, there you may be also. You see, Jesus is not pointing to anything or anyone other than himself for us to place our affection and our desire. Our desire is to be with him. Our affection is toward him, to dwell in his presence forever. The Bible asks a very important question in Romans 2 and verse 4. The question is this, or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? What does that mean? It means God's goodness in this life is supposed to draw me toward him. His love for me and the blessings that he gives to me and everyone, it should lead us to repentance. Now, someone might say, repent of what? Repent of your sins. Well, what's that? That's behavior that's contrary to the way God has directed us to live. Listen to the Bible again. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. The world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. The Bible tells us that the problem is sin. God created human beings upright. He created us good. But at some point, we have all deviated from what is upright and good. The Bible just simply says it this way in Romans 3:23, all have sinned. The wise King Solomon, listen to what he said in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 29. Truly this only I have found, that God made man upright, but they have sought many schemes. The prophet Isaiah said it this way, your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he may not hear. The God who created us is holy, and the Bible teaches that he cannot have fellowship or friendship with evil. So when we sin, our sins separate us from God. Listen to what Psalm 5, verse 4 says. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. You see, the problem's not God. The problem is me choosing to sin, and then that sin separates me from God. Just go back to the beginning of the Bible and the record of Adam and Eve in the garden. You'll find the precedent of sin separating us from God as Adam and Eve are expelled from God's presence and the garden. And the people who never deal with this sin problem, they're going to remain in that state of being separated from God if they die in that condition. God says the sting of death is sin. When a person dies, the part that hurts, the part that stings the most, is if a person dies in their sins. Because at that moment of death, that's when you're judged by Jesus and by his words. Listen to Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. Listen to how Jesus describes the horror of hell. He says it's a place of outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Think about it. If God is light and God is the source of light and hell is being separated from God, the only thing left is outer darkness. Jesus said of hell, it's a place prepared for the devil and his angels. He said it's a place of everlasting punishment. Jesus even uses the imagery of fire that is never quenched. The Bible says that a person with an impenitent heart, what they're doing is treasuring up God's indignation and wrath. Listen to another passage from the Bible. The Apostle Paul is writing to Christians who are being persecuted and they're being troubled. And he's encouraging them with these words. He says, it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These will be punished with everlasting destruction, here it is, from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. That is the pain and anguish of hell. You are sent away from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power when he comes in that day. Paul says, to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Now, I hope you're hearing these Bible verses and then an awareness of God's judgment is becoming of critical importance. The Bible is saying something that's very different from what the world tells us. You've probably heard it. The world's message is, I'm okay, you're okay. Everybody's okay. Don't judge other people. Just let everyone do what they want to do. But the Bible says sin's a big problem. It's a problem that needs to be remedied. So let's put together what we've talked about so far. Jesus says there's a place called heaven and God's there. Jesus also says there's a place called hell and God is not there. He said not everyone will go to heaven. But he also said he wants everyone to go to heaven, to choose him, to choose his presence, to desire him enough to follow his instructions. But his desire, and this is key, his desire does not lead him to force you or coerce you. You still get to decide. It would be foolish indeed, would it not, to make decisions today with no thought about future judgment, no thought about a day of accounting, no thought about the day when we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for how we've chosen to live? And so the great invitation, the good news that God offers to everyone is that in spite of our sins, those sins that separate us from God, we can be forgiven of those sins. We can be reunited with the God that desires us and desires eternal fellowship with us. We referenced this verse earlier. Listen to it again. For the wages of sin is death, but, that's probably the best word in that whole verse, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, Romans 6:23. Eternal life with God does not exist apart from Jesus. Remember, he said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, through Jesus. Friend, if you are outside of Jesus Christ, you will not and you cannot be in heaven with God. God wants you to be there, but your sin is preventing that fellowship, that reuniting. Jesus speaks of a future day when he's going to call out to all who are in the graves, and Jesus says they will all hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Do not let your sins separate you from God. A remedy is available, and that remedy is Jesus himself. You need to know God, because he is just, he cannot just sweep your sins under the rug. Jesus took those sins, your sins, my sins, upon himself. He was punished for us when he died on that cross. And this truth demands a response from you. God wants to know if you will follow his son or not. You say, well, I don't want to choose. Well, by not choosing, you've refused to choose Jesus. And you cannot reject Jesus and be okay with God, the Father. I'll close with this. I think it's the sweetest, most wonderful invitation Jesus ever offered. He said, come to me. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden or burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Do you want to spend eternity with God or separated from him? It's your choice. If you have not come to God through his son, it's not too late. You can still do that as long as you have breath. And Jesus invites you to believe on him, to follow him, by repenting of your past sins. Repenting does not mean feel bad about yourself. It means change. And Jesus demands we change. He demands we confess him as Lord. And he commands us to put him on in baptism, which is where our sins are washed away, Acts 2 and verse 38. Followers of Jesus are called Christians. And you know, we just can't wait for the life that waits for us after this life of pain and struggle is over. You need to know there's room for all where we're going. There's room for you where we're going. Come with us.